All right, turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy, excuse me, 2 Timothy 2. And I think about the fact of, you know, I've said in the past, I think we know that we serve a faithful God. He's faithful. Amen. Many times we're not faithful, but sometimes we are. But we have a God that doesn't falter, doesn't. He's always there. He's always available, and He's always there for us. And we serve a faithful God. And you know, we need. If we as Christians, as we're part of His family, we're adopted into His family. Amen. That we would be a reflection of that faithfulness. That would be a great thing. And to hear those words, "Well done, thy faithful servant." We think here at 2 Timothy 2, and verse 1, and we see here. Paul the Apostle was one of the greatest teachers of all time, as he writes to Timothy, and this is his last epistle. Paul is awaiting execution at the orders of the Roman Emperor Nero, and so incredible things could have been looked back then very politically upside down, very out of control. Kind of reminds me of today a little bit. Things are a little bit out of control, at least the things you hear about. But we see here, as we read here, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 1, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ," or Christ Jesus, "and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider that what I say, and the Lord give you the understanding in all things, remembering that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead, according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound." We see here that I suffer trouble as an evildoer, you know. We think about Paul. A lot of people like to tag on him that he was a problem, kind of like a problem that needed to be dealt with. And he would have been one of those people that he would have gone after before he got saved. And probably would have been first on the list, you know. But what an incredible thing. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, Lord, thank you for this time. I pray that you bless it. Lord, we thank you for your word. I pray that you just bless it. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We see that Nero was just a crazy ruler. He hated Christians. Now, Paul is challenging Timothy to remember to be faithful in light of the challenges at hand. We think about how today we have a great need for people to be faithful, just faithful. Nothing extraordinary, no superhero things need to go on. We just need to be faithful. God handles the big stuff. We just do what we're supposed to do. I'm amazed how the Word of God shows us some things. And, you know, we think about when the devil is dealing with this, or he's coming at us and whatever. And the Bible talks about how we resist the devil and he'll flee from you. We see how in the Word of God, there's things that challenge us, that encourage us, that put us on the right track to do the right thing. And then all of a sudden we're surprised, like, wow, look what happened. He fleed. And we see that it happens over and over again. And we got to watch this. We see the Word of God is full of promises. It's full of things in the Bible that helps us to be what we're supposed to be. And so often in the Bible, we see people that were not what they were supposed to be. And we think about how in 148 times the Bible says, remember. And here in Psalms 78, keep your place here in 2 Timothy, but Psalm 78, if you would, turn there. Psalm 78, "Give ear, O my people," in verse 1, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and the strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God and keep his commandments. We think about how in the Word of God, it's so important. We think about over and over again, it talks about how it's important as far as families and children and passing the baton, passing on what we know about God, the great things that God has done in our lives, and how to pass it on, and how that we pass it on as a hope. We pass it on as, you know, what else is there? We pass it on as a great hope, and we have that vision of what God wants us to pass it on. And we want them to know. We don't want them to miss out on what we have been blessed with. We don't want them to miss out on what your father or mother, your grandfather, or those that know the Lord have been blessed with. We've been blessed with salvation. We have a heritage. And we think about the things that were there. And we think about certain times in history where God, I believe, so much wanted to bless, and yet he could not. And I think many times in our lives, he would love to bless, but he can't. He can. He has to hold back because where we're at. And a lot of times I do pray for certain people. I pray for people that, you know, are doing great spiritually. I'll pray that God would bring them to a place that God can really bless them. And God can't really bless us until we get where our heart's right, we're with God, until we get where he can bless us. And we need to, sometimes that we need some, for some people that would be getting into church. For some people it would be getting into the Bible. So for some people it's just simply obeying God, being faithful. And for us, we need to be faithful. I think about all the different things we could do, exceptional things we could do today, as we can think of exceptional things, and there's exceptional stories in the Bible of extraordinary stories, but God just calls us to be faithful. He's a faithful God. He comes through every time. I think of 1 Kings chapter 11. You're welcome to turn there. 1 Kings chapter 11, and we have a story about... we have a story about Solomon, and really we talk a lot about, sometimes we talk about the blessings of, we talk about the blessings chapter 11. We talk about the blessings of Solomon, the fact that he was blessed because he properly asked. He asked for something that, you know, he asked God for wisdom to be the kind of ruler that God would have him to be. And God was like, wow, you asked for, he says, you could have asked for wealth, you could have asked for all these different things, but you asked for things that were not for your own, for your people. You cared for so much for my people. And so, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to bless you with not just wisdom, but I'm going to bless you with gold. I'm going to bless you with a lot of wisdom. You'll be the wisest man on earth. And with all that he had and everything that he had, God, the way God blessed him, and yet it's a tragedy how his life turned out. Many of our lives are that way. We start out with a blessing. We start out with faith. We start out with that window of our conscience, all clean, and that the light of God's word coming through and allowing, and it's coming into our lives, and it's building some character and some faith and some things in our lives that just allows us to abound for God. And yet over time, that window to God kind of gets clouded up. Our conscience gets seared. And we see here in 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1, it says, but King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonites, all kinds of Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go in unto them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their God. Solomon clave unto these in love, and he gave unto, and he had 700 wives, princesses. I've never seen that before. Have you seen that, princesses? That's interesting. I don't know. And 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. Isn't that sad? We see it's sad that when we see Solomon, he had so much going for him. Blessed in incredible ways. Many of us were blessed in such incredible ways. But we come to that fork in the road, whether we're going to obey God or obey our flesh or obey what we think we want to go and do, whatever, or we're listening to someone else rather than God, we got to be careful. We see that there's a why in the road. It's really a test to see what we're going to do. Solomon, unfortunately, failed the test. He didn't have a heart like David. David had ruled with, 40 years, and he ends up ruling 40 years. And we understand that when David goes off the scene, he goes off with a legacy to leave back, and great things were happening. And he passed the baton. He kept the ball rolling for his son and for God, and things were moving along just fine. And Solomon ended up having stuff ready to build for the wonderful, incredible temple and to please God, and everything was going along so well. And yet, somewhere along the way, he decided to do something different than what God had said. God had said, don't do this, don't do that. God set that for a reason. Having strange women, we think about that. He warned his people, and yet he did not heed to the warning. You think about all the wisdom that he had, and yet he didn't have the ability to follow through on that. And it was a tragic thing. And so they turned his heart from... He didn't have a perfect heart. We see in verse 5, for Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of Zidonians, and after Milcom and the abominations of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and went not after the Lord, as did David his father. Then did Solomon build a high place for the Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abominations of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all the strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrifice unto their gods. And then we follow along here. It says in verse 9, and the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice and had commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods. But he commanded not that which the Lord, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my commandment or covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will utterly rend the kingdom from thee and will give it to thy servant. And notwithstanding in thy days, I will not do it for David's sake or thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of thy hand of thy son. Howbeit, I will not rend away the kingdom, but will give one tribe to the son of for David, my servant's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen. So we see a curse that's has been placed out. God has cursed his people. He's cursed the leader there, and what could have gone on forward and done some great things. It brought about a curse from God. And don't you ever feel like today that we have a curse upon us? Don't you feel like that? It feels like, inflation's happening. We look around at all the different things. We know the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back soon. But we know that a lot of people are making the wrong decisions. And we're going, just shaking your head, And it's almost like there's a delusion. You think about the tribulation, there's going to be strong delusions. I think there's light delusions now. People are making just really weird directional moves. But we see here that he did all the wrong things on the end of his life, and we see what happened. We as Christians, we need to stay strong for the Lord. We need to be faithful, and we need to stick to the stuff. We need to stick to God's word, and we need to say, thus saith the Lord. That's why I think the word of God needs to be preached. We think about pastor this morning preaching the word of God, and thus saith the Lord. We need to get back to that. We need to get back to where thus saith the Lord. And we as Christians, we say, that's going to be for me and my household. We're going to serve the Lord. We're going to follow his precepts. We're going to follow what he says to do. And so we see that young Timothy here, he has a great opportunity as he is being passed the baton of serving the Lord. And we see that in 1 Corinthians 4:15, For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. And so Paul had, Timothy was had been a student of the Apostle Paul. We see that in verse 1 of our text there, 2 Timothy 2. We see that Paul was a great instructor. He was a great teacher. And we see that he was teaching. And today we have the opportunity to teach. We have the opportunity to pass the baton to the younger generation, to those that are children, and talk about the great hope that we have. We as a church, we have the opportunity to pass the baton of the great hope we have in Jesus Christ. And there could be things going in the wrong direction in so many different ways, but Jesus Christ will get us going in the right direction. Our lives in the right direction. No matter what's happening in Paul's time or no matter what's happening today, the Lord is in control. We see that a faithful Christian's teaching, verse 2 of our text of 2 Timothy 2, verse 2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And notice that teaching. We see the importance of teaching. It's so important that we're teaching. And a lot of times, I know this is more than just teaching or just our life in general as an example. Of course, our life can teach a lot of things too, but also it's really teaching the Word of God. We see the importance of that. And we think about some people would not want to teach, but we understand that it's a very important thing. And we see that it's very important. I think there was when a certain family was going on vacation, they were going to go on an extended vacation, they started thinking, they were looking at their dog and thinking, wow, we've got to find someone to watch the dog. I don't know if today is a big deal. They actually have places where you can take your dog and they'll get taken care of. It's like a little hotel, isn't it? Like little motels for your dogs and stuff like that. It's a big thing. In fact, people pay a lot of money. It's almost as much as a hotel room. And they get the special food and diet and different things and manicured, the hair done and all that. And, you know, it's a very something thing. And people want to make sure their dogs are treated right and everything. But anyways, here there are some people that go on vacation. Maybe they didn't have this hotel or whatever, but they were thinking of their dog. And anyways, they were thinking about this young 9-year-old neighbor, Mike, about they're going to talk to him about taking care of the family dog. They explained that the job would require feeding, watering, grooming, walking, and spending plenty of time playing with the dog and giving her lots of love. After covering the job description, they asked what the job would be worth to him. The little boy replied, "I'll give you $10. I tell you, some kids are just starving for a little dog, amen? And we think about the importance. Dogs, it can be fun anyways. But anyways, we think about how we see that the Bible needs to be taught. We also see that the Word of God needs to be taught. Those things that we have heard, those things are not just for us. They're for others. Those things that we have heard, those are things that we need to work out in our lives. There needs to be some fruit within our lives and some things going on there. That would allow that to happen. We see that in 2 Timothy 1:13 says, "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus," there in 2 Timothy 1:13. Hold fast. Hold them fast. Hold them dear. We need to understand that they are sound words. And we think about how important it is. Timothy had learned. He had heard. Timothy was to commit. We think about to deposit a treasure. We think about how the gospel would be to deposit a treasure. You know, the gospel is an important thing. We as Christians today, there's less Christians today, I believe, giving out the gospel than ever before. And we need to understand how important it is that the gospel goes out. You need to be concerned about your coworkers. You need to be concerned about your neighbors. You need to be concerned about those that are out there without Christ. They have no hope. We understand that the gospel is something that we could deposit into their lives. It is something very valuable. It's a treasure. And so we think about how this could make a big difference in people's life. It's our job to get the gospel out. It's the Holy Spirit to speak to people about doing something with the gospel and accepting Christ as their Savior. And it's important for us to be there and encourage them to accept Christ as their Savior. We think about how we need to commit. Commit means deposit and refers to the treasure of gospel, truth that Paul had committed to Timothy. Here's a treasure that you have. Here's something you need to deposit into others. We think about how the gospel went out in an incredible way, powerful way back then. Today, it needs to go out in a powerful way today. We don't just go, okay, we're doing our job because we got missionaries. No, we're supposed to be doing the same thing. We're supposed to have a burden. That burden should be the burden of other people getting saved, the burden of people knowing about the gospel so people can make a decision. What a tragedy it'll be down the road when we get to heaven. We realize that there were people that were around us that would have liked to have known about the gospel. I think the burden, we need to be burdened. Not enough people today are burdened about the loss. I think about the burden that we have, and that could be like a care. 1 Peter 5:7, we're supposed to cast our care upon him, aren't we? Is there a burden or a care upon our lives about someone else that we would care enough to invite God and say, God, this is bigger than me. Them receiving Christ is bigger than me. I need to cast this care. Are you burdened so much that would be him taking a burden from you and you would cast that burden upon him? And you, he would and trusting God. And you know what? We can give out the gospel. And we need to give out the gospel, but ultimately they need to be saved. They need to receive Christ as their Savior. And so we need to understand that it is to deposit that gospel, that treasure. We have a treasure. The gospel is a treasure. Think about that. We think about how, when you were kids, would you ever think about the movies that you watched? You watched movies or read books or whatever about treasure. And you'd go, well, you know what? Maybe your neighbors, you made up a story. I think there's a treasure somewhere. You'd be digging somewhere looking for, you know, my backyard's been dug up. It wasn't a treasure, but it was if you were digging in back my backyard, it was my kids digging back there, but I don't know that they were digging for treasure. But when I was a kid, I was digging for treasure. I was digging for treasure because I knew there was a treasure somewhere, you know. And if I found that treasure, we'd be rich. And, Mom and Dad, we're moving out of this house. We're moving into a nicer shack, wherever, you know. but we think about the treasure, a wonderful treasure. Think about the beautifulness of a treasure. And in reality, when someone gets saved, we are depositing a treasure. But it's incredible how when we deposit that treasure into someone's life, and they receive Christ as their Savior, we had a part in that. Amen. And yeah, there's a crown waiting for us, a real treasure that is beyond any treasure that's on this earth, because it comes from God, is created from God, especially from Him. And we think about the fact that's not we don't focus on it. We focus on this, but focus on the fact that it's a treasure we're depositing in into people. People need that treasure to receive Christ as their Savior. We think about how the things committed included the theological truths of the New Testament. The church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. We are to guard and spread the truth. We're to guard it and we're to spread it. We see here in verse 3 of 2 Timothy 2, in verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And we see how today we sometimes will need to endure hardness. You know, soldiers will have to endure hardness. I think of some people that I have ran into in the past that have had time in the military. They talk about the fact that the last thing you want to do is go camping. We did enough camping when we were in the military, whatever. When we were in the army, we did enough camping or whatever. So they don't want to rough it. Or a lot of them do. But it's kind of funny. But we think about how we're supposed to endure hardness. But along with enduring hardness, we understand that God gives us this grace. God gives us the ability to do go through the hardship that we'll go through. We think about how today we have so many people that don't want to have to go through hardship. They don't want to go through it. They don't want anything hard. We've got it all easy, man. We got the car. It's all we're crying when the car we get doesn't have change lanes assist or something like that. It doesn't have cruise control. This has got regular windows. What happened to the power window? Remember, how many of you remember doing this with a window, you know? Yeah, there's some people that know that. And boy, that was a hardship? It was nice just having a car, four tires and an engine, whatever. But, you know, but now we got power windows. Man, if we didn't have power windows, boy, we'd be all upset. And if we didn't have AC, wow, you know, it's time to move. But we think about enduring for hardship and that God gives us grace, and there's some people that went through some hardship. there was a young man who had been hired for the personal by the personal department of a large supermarket chain, reported to work at one of the stores he was. The manager greeted him and warmed with a warm handshake and a smile, handed with a broom and said, "Your first job will be to sweep out the store." But the young man said, "I'm a college student." And he said, "I'm sorry," the manager said. "I didn't know that. Here, give me a broom. Give me the broom, and I'll show you how." We think about how today we might have to go through a little hardship. And so Paul had lived faithfully. We think about Paul had gone through some hardship. His teaching was seasoned with hardship. His life was seasoned with hardship. It wasn't hard to see that. I'm sure by the looking of this man, you would know that he had been through some things. You would have looked at this guy, man, this is the real McCoy. This is the real guy. This is the real stuff. And 2 Corinthians 11:24 says this. It says, "Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. By the way, that's three times I suffered shipwreck. Thrice. A night and a day I had been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils of the wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." We think about all these things that Paul had been through. This is the great Apostle Paul. You would have thought this guy was flying from place to place, you know? But, you know, God had prepared a road for him. This is his life. This is God's will. He followed God's will, and he went through a lot of hardships. Guess what, folks? We might have to go through some hardships. But if we go through those hardships, it's going to be worth it. Amen. It's always worth it. We understand that Paul could challenge honestly. He could tell people, "Hey, honestly, I've been through it. You'll get through it. God gave me grace." How many times do we go through things and we don't reach out to God's grace? But God's grace will be there for us if we ask for it. We think about how William A. Ward said, "The mediocre teacher tells, the good teacher explains, the superior teacher demonstrates, the great teacher inspires." And I believe that Paul inspired people. I believe Paul inspired people. Philippians 4:9 says, "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen of me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." And so, honestly, he could honestly say this. He was the lowest of any apostle, according to himself. Here's the guy, okay? And we understand that he wasn't, he was going exactly where God wanted him to go, establish churches, things like that, and encourage churches, and did what God wanted to do, went where God wanted to go. And we think about, these are great things. We think about sometimes the greatest lesson in you is in the valley. For us, is in the valley. Yeah, we're in the valley now, huh? Are we getting a great lesson or not? But it's in the valley. We're talking about the valley, the hardships of life. Some of the great lessons we have. We also see a faithful Christian testimony. And so a great Christian testimony, 2 Timothy 2:4. "No man that worth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Now, we would definitely say, as Paul, God had chosen him. Oh, yeah. Paul, on the road to Damascus, guess what? You're serving me. You know, this is who I am. Why are you, you know? And so he ends up turning Paul around, or Saul at the time, and eventually he becomes Paul, but he turns him around. He gets saved. He has a Damascus experience. He has Christ in his heart, and he moves forward for the Lord. We think about he had a pure testimony. Romans, we think about having a pure testimony is very important. Romans 14:16 says, "Let not you then your good be evil spoken of." 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says, "Abstain from all appearances of evil." You know, abstain from it. And so, here's a quote: "The Christian life is not a playground; it is a battleground. We do not have to strengthen ourselves. We don't have strength in ourselves, but by His grace, we can endure and stand against the wiles of the devil." Wiersbe said that. When we think about a Christian soldiers must not entangle themselves with the world. Their first loyalty is to Christ. Where would an army be if every soldier that had part-time work that took away him away from the military duties? Our main task is to please him, not others, not ourselves. Think about that if you were in the military, in the army. Oh, you know, I got a part-time job. I'll be back, Sergeant. I'll be back, so-and-so. I think they would lock you up, I think. Anyways, but we see that in verse 5, we see here the Bible says, and if a man also strive for masteries, yet is not crowned except he strive lawfully. And we think about how it's important for us to strive lawfully. We need to get along with people and do the will of God. We think about a pleasing testimony. Is it pleasing to God? Is our testimony pleasing to God? Is our lives pleasing to God? And how we give our offering, you know, that's an important thing too. I think we know that. And when we come to with our offering is that we make sure our heart's right. Right? We give it, but we want our hearts right. Amen. We don't want to have animosity against someone else. We don't want to have hatred. We don't want to have different things. We want to have bitterness. We want to give it with a pure heart, with a right heart. We want to tell others about Christ with a right heart. And don't let that keep you from telling people about Christ. But we understand that our heart for service, we need to get our heart where it needs to be. And so is our testimony pleasing to God? Every child of God should desire to please him and glorify him. Are you interested in pleasing God in your life? And many of us are here in church tonight because we want to please God. Many of us want to get into God's word and pray and every day and because we want to please God. We want to glorify him. In Revelation 4:11, it says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. We were created for a purpose, and part of that purpose is glorifying him. We have an opportunity to glorify him. We think about faithful Christians' trust. In verse 8 and 9, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. And so we see that, we think about that, when we're in the work of Christ, you know, it can bring us to places that people may not like us very well if we give out the gospel, but it'll be worth it. We'll see the power of God work. I know that Paul saw the power of God work. We see it within his ministry. We think about how the greatest motivation for the first century Christian to be faithful was the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We serve a risen Savior. Amen. We see a finished work, Hebrews 12 and verse 2. Says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. In verse 3, for consider him that endureth such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. So we see the recipe of understanding and realizing and understanding that what Jesus went through, and he is going to help us to get through the things that we need to get through. Acts 2:23 says this, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. In verse 24, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. So we understand that it is a finished work. We understand that Jesus rose from the dead. We think about how it's a saving work. In Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. We didn't deserve salvation. And the Bible says, by the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. And so we are saved from our sin because of the death and burial and resurrection. Don't forget that. We understand that when we get saved, when someone gets saved, they need to understand that Jesus not only died for their sins, but he was placed, once he died for our sins, and our sins were laid upon him, he died for our sins, he was placed in the tomb. And 3 days later, he rose again victorious for you and for me. Amen. And so we understand that's a very important part. We see here in 1 Corinthians 15:13, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised him raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised? And so in verse 17, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins. What a tragedy it would have been. But we understand that we have a risen Savior. What a wonderful thing. It was a motivating thing. We understand that it was a real catalyst. It was really something that those apostles all knew. And they that compassion that and that passion they had of knowing that Christ had raised from the dead was something that really motivated them. It was motivational. We understand that all that Jesus did on the cross for us to be saved, and we understand that all that he did in the gospel, and we understand that should be motivating for us. But we understand that we are saved for eternity. Praise the Lord. Those that receive Christ as their Savior are saved for eternity. 1 Peter verse 1, chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. In verse 5 it says, who are kept by the power of God through faith and unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Amen. By the way, I don't think it's going to be very long before that is going to be revealed. And we have a great thing to look forward to. God is done a great thing. He's preserved that for us. He's preserved a place for us. He's you know, we're in a great place if you're saved. If you're not saved, beware. But we have a whole world that needs to be saved. A lost world, dying world. But we see that we think about the fact that in the Word of God, in verse 9, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even under the bonds, but the Word of God is not bound. And I think we've said this plenty of times in the past, that the Word of God, even though Paul was locked up, the Word of God wasn't bound. The Word of God was able to do some great things with him locked up. It wasn't bound. The Word of God is powerful. The Bible says, we think about how Colossians 4:3 says, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. So we understand that God was doing work in and amidst and around. God was using Paul, and God will use us. You might be bound up by some things. You might think that, oh, I'm being bound up. You know, it's an amazing thing how in the Word of God, how certain people or certain beings in the Bible, even angels, have been held up from going and getting places. They'll get with the angel that went to Daniel. I was held up, you know. And it's amazing when you hear that and you go, wow, he was held up. He's an angel, you know. And it's like he was held up. And things get held up. And the devil is there to try to hang us up a little bit here and there. He's going to slow us down. He's going to slow us down. But it's nothing out of the sorts of what God knows about. He knows all about those things. And it plays within the will of God. And we understand that we just need to be faithful. We need to just stay faithful for him. And so God is opening the doors. What kind of doors is he going to open for us in 2022 as we continue on? What kind of doors is he going to open for us? How many people are going to get saved because we're interested in depositing the gospel into them? 2 Peter 1:19 says, and we're almost done. 2 Peter 1:19 says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. 2 Peter 1:19. But we understand that the word of God is not bound. It is not bound. And I think of John Bunyan in 1658. Bunyan was indicted for preaching without a license. How dare you? You know, big government here. Before he turned 30, he had become a prominent Baptist preacher. He continued, however, and did not suffer imprisonment until November 1660, when he was taken to the county jail in Silver Street, Bedford. Not a great place to visit if you're going to get thrown in jail, I guess. There he was confined at first for 3 months, but on his refusing to conform or to desist from preaching, his confinement was extended for a period of nearly 12 years. While in jail, Bunyan wrote Pilgrim's Progress, which has been translated into over 100 languages and which teaches the Word of God throughout. We think about how, you know, it's an amazing thing how we would say, well, I'm being hanged up. We would look at the lemons in our lives and we'd say, well, and God says, you know what? Do something with those lemons. Make some lemonade. Let's see what we can do here. But God can do some great things. I'm amazed about how the different missionaries, they're calling and they're looking for what God, you know, we can't do anything because of COVID. We're constrained. We know God wants us here. We'd go home if God wanted us to, but we're here and God has sent us here and we're looking for God's will. So we're praying and God does open some doors for them. Opportunities that they never saw before. And God opened those up, those doors that God was opening up because they were praying. How many of us are praying? How many of us are casting our care upon Him about the people that are around us that need Christ? Is it a burden for us? Is it something we're concerned? And we need to be concerned. We're getting to that point where we still live in a world that is dying and on its way to hell. And what are we doing about it? We as Christians, we still have the mandate: get out the gospel, get out the gospel to the whole world. We think about the fact that the gospel had gotten out into the whole world back in Paul's time, but we understand that it needed to continue to go out into the whole world. We still have that mandate. And when God says it's time to come home, we need to go home. And He's going to call us home. But when we go home, we're going to look back and go, man, I should have done so much more. Oh, man. So let me encourage you to trust the Lord. Be faithful. God wants us to be faithful. Look at Solomon's life. Man, he could have done so much better. Look at all that he was given. You know, we're all given such a blessing. We live in America, I'm telling you. We are blessed beyond measure. And so, but if we do something with that, I believe that God will really bless that. And so let's pray. Lord Jesus, Lord, thank you, God, for tonight. Thank you, God, for your word. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would just help us, Lord, that we would be great teachers. Lord, we need to emanate you, Lord Jesus. Lord, you are the greatest teacher ever. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, Lord, for Paul and how you got a hold of his heart. And his life was not easy. And Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, that you had a path, a road for him to go, your will. And we thank you, God, that he followed that. You provided him grace. And it was not easy. He had to endure it as like a soldier. And I pray that we would take things in the right focus, that we would not listen to the wrong people, that we would listen to you, Lord Jesus, and follow the road and make the right choices and follow you wholeheartedly. God, we thank you for this opportunity, and I just pray that you bless now, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Pastor.